Nothing stops your boat faster and holds it more securely than PowerPole shallow water anchors. Some folks hear PowerPole and think, oh man, I can't afford that. But did you know you can get the 8-foot PowerPole Sportsman 2 hydraulic anchor now with Seamonster 2.0 pump and heavy-duty hydraulic hose for just $1,295? It's got all the features PowerPole anchors are famous for, and a single Sportsman 2 will hold a bass boat up to 4,500 pounds. Go check it out at power-pole.com to find a dealer near you. PowerPole, swift, silent, secure.
The swim jig technique is one of the most successful ways to put fish in the boat. Time in and time out, Bravani Bait swim jigs are just the right tool for the job. Beaming with quality, the Bravani swim jigs come in a myriad of colors, feature the best premium hooks and solid trailer keepers to give you, the serious bass angler, the confidence you need to accomplish your goal of putting more fish in the boat. So go to BravaniBaits.com and start climbing the ladder to swim jig success.
Discover the magic of balsa. For decades, professional fishermen and the angling elite come to rely on the fish-catching performance of hand-carved custom balsa lures. PH Custom Lures by Phil Hunt have assembled the comprehensive line of custom balsa baits. The original Hunt and Peak, Bill Lowen's Dollar Bill, Wesley Strader's Plop and Pee, and the new Matt Heron Fudd, in addition to the entire family of PH Custom Lures, are just what you need to get that edge over the competition. Discover the magic of balsa today and visit PH Custom Lures.com. That's phcustomlures.com.
Oh yeah. All right. Welcome back. Straight Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television. I'm your host, Pat Renwick, and right now, from his bunker, according to Jay Kumar's Bass Blaster, this gentleman is somewhere in a bunker in Arkansas, or somewhere in an undisclosed location. We bring to you, and I'm going to call him this, Bass Fishing Superstar, MLF Touring Pro, FLW Touring Pro. Give it up for the first time ever on this maniacy we call Straight Cast. It's Scott Suggs. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Give me an internet high five, Scott. Internet high five. Yeah. There it is right there. Welcome to the madness. How are you?
Hey, everything's great.
You look nice and comfortable right there.
Well, hey, I had to follow the great friend here in Arkansas to get no light outside, so I was going to be in my boat on Lake Washita, but I'm in my house here in Lake Washita.
That Fred's always trying to one up people, isn't he?
Hey, Fred's always tried to one up me. And he's
oh man, but hey, we're glad to have you here, man. I don't know how to put this, but I did not realize how cool you were until I actually spent some time with you, man. And it's like you're a pretty cool dude, man. I'm gonna tell you straight.
Well, I try to be. I mean, you know, like I said, following the likes of Fred Robanis and some of the other guys, you got to really step up your game.
you know, that's true. Especially, there's a lot of those other famous Arkansas anglers, too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
We're a bunch of Hoosiers over here. So these guys are from Chicago, but we don't even know where Chicago is.
Yeah, some of these guys have to get in a pool and pound a bunch of Bud Lights to keep up.
Country, isn't it?
What's that, Scott?
I said, I think Chicago, isn't it in a foreign country?
It sure is. It's Chirac. That's where it is, Chirac. Hey, so whenever we have a guest on the show for the first time, we do a little get-to-know-ya segment. And I would like you, in your own words, to kind of give the bass fishing universe a little Scott Suggs history lesson. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm good with that. I mean, yeah, sure.
Well, let me have it.
What do you want to know? What do you want to know? Basically how it started, it's wound up.
Exactly. You know? I mean, let's just take it from the origin of Scott Suggs. How'd you get into this professional game? Like, let's take it from right before you became a professional angler to your first year as a professional. How's that?
Okay. You know, the big deal was My dad and everybody, they all crappie fished all the time, and I was raised on this lake right here. And one of the things I'm known for in professional fishing is being able to catch suspended bass.
Yeah.
And I learned that through being in the boat with my dad and my grandpa and them on this lake, the way they crappie fished in standing trees. And the whole time, not the whole time, a lot of time they'd be crappie fishing. I'd be chunking off, you know, I'd be trying to figure out how to catch a bass while they were crappie fishing. And it really paid off over the years and everything. And it gave me a little deal where I had an advantage during my professional career and was known for something a little different. And they raised, I mean, I was on the water when I was big enough to walk. That was the great thing about it. They always had me fishing or hunting. And then as it went on, I got to fish in local tournaments, like, you know, I'm going to say around my sophomore year of high school and stuff, and got to fish in team tournaments with my dad and a brother-in-law and stuff. And I just pursued it right along. I was fishing 4 or 5 nights a week and on weekend days, you know. I mean, I just lived to do it. And I had great success in the state of Arkansas. And back in the OMC days, I picked up some big time deal with them through boat and motor sponsorship and stuff. And I just, you know, was able to carry it on. As a matter of fact, I don't remember what year it was, around 96, I was sponsored by, at that time, Steel Stratus and Johnson and everything.
Sure.
They call me out of the blue and they say, "Oh, by the way, week after next, you're fishing megabucks on Lake Old Hickory." I said, "I'm fishing." And I went over and fished megabucks. I made the first cut in it and everything. And it kind of all really set off from there. And it's just taken off from there, really.
Yeah, 100%. And you have the distinguished honor, and correct me if I'm wrong, of being the first $1 million winner in professional bass fishing. Isn't that correct?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, dude.
Exactly.
And that was on your beloved lake.
Yeah, right here where I'm sitting right now.
And what's amazing is an appearance on this show is somewhat compatible to a $1 million win on a professional level. You know that,
100%.
Right? Yeah.
Believe me, I know that. I understand that perfectly clear.
as long as we're on the same page, Scott, that's all I'm getting at. But seriously, man, I mean, that's a big deal. That was like unheard of money. And what was that? Was that 2007? That was like 11 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, $1 million.
You know, that's the thing about it. I mean, that just shows the fishing industry. It shows any kind of business anywhere what can happen, though. I mean, we were climbing and climbing and got to where it's $1 million purse at an event and everything. And then the economy shows what it can destroy in any business and everything. And now we're building it back up again and getting the money, you know, back up a little bit. It's going to take a lot more time than it, you know, to get back to that level ever again. I mean, I see it way on down the road, but it just goes to show you how easy and how devastating the economy can be and, you know, in all business, but especially the sport of bass fishing.
Yeah. And it is on the climb. There's no doubt, but there's still a missing link. Okay. There's still, and Rambanis kind of, you know, talked about it too, how he wanted to get bass fishing back to that level. Cause he won $250,000 in BASS in a derby. And so let's create a scenario here. Okay, so let's say that you are elected the president of the bass fishing universe. Okay, you are now Scott Suggs, president of the bass fishing universe. Okay,
perfect.
What is your first point of order for change in this sport that we love? What's your first point of order for change?
Well, that's really hard to say. I mean, been tried in so many different directions, but the deal on all of this is all the same way that the PGA is set up. It's the same way as a lot of these professional sports are, that here we are, no matter what, if you look at it, the anglers are still fishing from the beginning of time of professional bass fishing to right now, we're still fishing for our entry fee. And until that sponsorship is built up and until we're being paid, if you're in that elite group and you're at each event, until you're getting paid for just being there instead of having to pay your entry fee and try to win that entry fee back and plus some, we're going to stay at a standstill for a long time. We've got to get that figured out of what it's going to take. If you make that, if you're in that elite group, you should be paid for showing up and then try to win more on top of it, just like the PGA.
Gotcha. And, yep. And how could that be achieved? What would be a step into getting that achieved?
It's really hard to say. I mean, the exposure, more exposure, some way you've got to be able to get in there and sell to these sponsors and be able to, I don't know, it's just something. I mean, if I could answer that question, I'd be a genius because it's been tried in years. And it's not worked out really right yet, but I think the closest direction to it and the closest way going to it, and I think the future is Major League Fishing.
I see that. Yeah. I see that. Not only the fact that it has been brought to the limelight on CBS, right? Doesn't it air mm-hmm. on CBS? Okay, it's brought to the norm. If we could try and use that phrase, it's brought to the norm.
To the masses,
yes. And the fact that the sponsorship that you're seeing in MLF is from outside the industry, plain and simple.
Well, not only if you look back, look at the number of sponsors and stuff that FLW had at the time outside through a lot of the Walmart different distributors and stuff. How big they were at the time that I won the $1 million.
Sure.
And then, like I said, the economy fell out. They took that, you know, sponsorship dollars and used it somewhere else. And so, I mean, it's been nearly to there. It's been there before. And now Major League is kind of like we're saying, taking that same idea and going on with it and carrying it on. So, I mean, it's been... I call it, this is my deal. I say it's almost been figured out once. Hopefully we'll get it figured out the second time.
And thank God you won that $1 million at the right time, because the next year, kaboom, gone. The economy went.
The 2 years after that, I missed winning it. I had an opportunity at a fish two different times in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And I lost out by a pound and something. And
on
this
the Three
fish
River.
Was like a... under, I came that close to winning again, so it would have been awesome to have won it twice.
Heck yeah, you and Kim could have just took it easy the rest of your life. What'd you buy Kim when you won that $1 million?
Well, I didn't really buy Kim something as much as Kim and I, because her money, and she and I both made sure that we got our daughters the swimming pool that they wanted.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah.
A wise investment. Do you know what Justin Atkins bought after he won the cup last year?
What's that?
He bought a mattress and a bow. That's what he bought. A mattress and a bow. The heck's wrong with that kid?
Jordan Lee bought a pillowcase.
Yeah, Jordan Lee got a pillowcase.
Just the case.
And a bunch of Copenhagen. That's what he got. Hey, Scott, tell me a fishing story. Any old fishing story. Just tell me a good old bass fishing story.
Does it need to be from the tour or just anything?
Anything. Whatever comes to your mind. This is your show.
I'm going to tell you one that... We used to be, years ago, when I was able to stay home all the time, I was really successful night fishing here all the time. And, I mean, we averaged, you know, like Washita, in mid-20s a lot. I mean, that was a lot of our weights and stuff. And I had what I called a milk run. I never fished it unless I was in a tournament, these certain spots. And I had this one place. And I carried an anchor with me. I had my dad make me an anchor out of a piece of Comstock.
Okay.
And they put a He made a chain, like cut a chain, a log chain, and used that, welded on top to tie my rope to, and had four pieces of rebar off of it. So I carried it wherever I went over here at night, because the wind would blow, I'd anchor up and be able to still fish. We didn't know about power poles or the new trolling motors then, but right. Anyway. So I had this one certain spot that I did not anchor on, but when I pulled up on it, I made several casts in the dark, and I'd always tell my wife, I'd say, hey, when I feel that tree, you pretty much can go ahead and get the dip net, and you know that. So I had one tree I caught all these giants out of. So finally, we pull up there, and I get lined up, and finally, I told her, the next cast ought to be it. So I line it up, and I'm making this cast, and I'm winding it. And I told her, I said, I feel the tree. Here it comes. Here it comes. And about that time, I just bow up. And I said, oh, my gosh. As the time I'm saying, because I always say, oh, my gosh, it's a big one. Yeah. I went, oh, my God. But I never stopped. I went right over the butt seat, right through the middle of the boat, flat on my back, and that anchor stuck me dead center in the middle of the back.
Oh,
I'm laying on the floor with the rod sticking straight up in the air. She comes off the back deck once she realizes it. Runs by me, grabs the rod on the way by, and she goes, get the net, and she fights it in. So, that's about as good.
That's a great, she left you there impaled, like Dracula.
Oh, I mean, she just left me laying there, just went right on by and told me to get the net. That's what was insulting about it.
it's competition right there, man, at its finest. Everything goes.
Exactly. So I've taken her lately, the last 2 weeks, I've taken her to a local tournament here, and I'm not going to lie, she's caught the big one in both of them, and believe me, I'm hearing all about that. Too,
so. That's right. She's going to be the next Millennium Derby winner right there when it comes to fruition there, when it happens. Hey, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Mark Jeffries. From Bass Talk Live, he's got that deal going on, that one-on-one fishing right now, where you can wager a battle against another competitor, and McClellan's been on it against Crete, and I think Swindle and who else, Strader was on Strader. It, and Watson, your buddy James Watson. He just issued a $5,000 challenge for someone to fish against him on this live one-on-one on the BassZone.com. And my question to you is, why the hell did you not accept his $5,000 challenge and let Jeff Sprague do it?
I really didn't know that idiot had put up a challenge like that.
Yeah, it was baffling to me, because I know you would have kicked Watson's ass, and it's on his home lake, and that would have just been what he needed, that ass kicking that he needed.
You know what the thing about it is? His home lake is my most favorite lake in the country.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Damn it! I wish you'd have known about it, Scott. You won $1 million. I know $5,000 a drop and a half for you. And you'd have kicked Watson's ass. That would have been amazing on live television. He would have never lived it down. Now you know he's going to beat Jeff Sprague. Come on.
There's no one I'd rather beat than him either.
I know. That's why I was so baffled by this. Oh, I just dropped my TH Marine cup almost. unbelievable. So what I need you to do is just, you know Mark Jeffries. You know him. And you know Watson, so I just need you to put $10,000 up, and let's just get Jeff Sprague out of this whole thing. It happens on June 20th, and we just need to get him out of the equation. You versus Watson, okay?
Jeff Sprague is on the phone, by the way.
Is Jeff Sprague on the phone? Good. Let's talk.
Oh no, he hung up.
See, he didn't even want it, because he knows that Watson's going to beat him. But I know you would beat Watson on his home lake. That's why I'm pissed off. Can you tell I'm a little pissed off right now?
Oh yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Son of a gun.
I wish I'd have known about all that, because there's nobody I'd rather spank than Watson.
Okay, I'm going to make some phone calls later, tomorrow. and I'm gonna. Are you willing to put up $10,000? Can you double these funds?
Oh my gosh!
Come on,
$10,000.
$10,000, sir. $10,000.
I can't answer that without Kim in here.
Can you bring Kim on? Bring Kim here, please. Where's Kim?
Oh my gosh!
It's a bass fishing talk show. We do this kind of stuff. That's what happens here. Yeah.
Oh.
That's the deal. All right, so $10,000. We heard it here first. Scott Suggs is putting up $10,000 to butt out Jeff Sprague against James Watson on James's home lake on June 20th on thebasszone.com. There it is. Perfect. We have a winner.
God. Hey, my wife's standing over here in the room going like this. Daughters walked up. My daughter's over there going like this.
Yes. Yeah, this is the magic of a bass fishing talk show right there. That's what this is. That's what this is. Hey, let's get on to some serious stuff here now. Okay. Let's get on to some serious things like street battles. Like if you were going to be in a street battle with some fellow professional fishermen, Who would you have on your team to battle a bunch of ruffians in the street? Who would be on your team?
I'd have Watson.
You'd have Watson. Okay.
Yeah.
And what would his skills in fighting be?
The reason I'd have Watson's because he'd talk him to death.
He'd just talk him to death.
That's all you need.
It would just be you and Watson versus the ruffians, or you would have some more people with you?
No, I'd have some more people with me. I mean, I'd have to have Iaconelli with me because, hey, you know the moves he's got?
Yeah, dude.
They'd never touch him.
Yeah, they can't catch him. They can't catch the guy.
No. He would just, they couldn't touch him. And then I would have to have probably, I would probably have to have me some. You know, I need somebody in there with some styles to them.
Yeah.
Be dominant. I'd probably have
Charles Ingram. Charlie Ingram in his diamond gusset jeans. That's full size.
Hey, there you go. Ingram would be a good one, too. I mean, I'd have to have me some. It'd be kind of like building a football team. I'd have to have me a real good line backing them up.
Yeah. I think you got a winning team right there. That's for sure.
You got Ingram as a center, for sure.
Yeah, there's no ruffians in this Bass Fishing galaxy. They're going to stand a chance against Scott Suggs and his hooligans. There's no chance. There's no chance right there. Hey, we like to have fun here, dude. That's what this is all about. And I'm willing to bet that you have never been on a bass fishing game show before. Am I correct in that assumption?
I don't think that I ever have.
Okay. Now,
that I can recall.
I sent you a text earlier and asked you to have a pen and paper ready. Do you have that pen and paper?
No, I don't.
Come on. Where's Kim?
I do not.
You're going to totally lose this if you don't have this written down.
You're going to lose $10,000.
Yeah, because this is it.
Pat put up $10,000.
Yeah, I put up $10,000that you're going to kick Watson's ass, show. And I sure don't want to lose my money.
I honestly don't know if I have. I mean, like I said, I'm at my lake house. I don't even know where I'd look for pen and paper.
Well, you're going to have to remember these then because there's no backing out of this.
I'm trying to get my daughter's attention, pen and paper.
See, you just sign languaged.
Right now. I'm getting pen and paper right now.
Okay, good.
All right.
Because you're going to need it or you're going to fail miserably at this, Scott.
No, this does not sound good.
No, I've already set the stage to my advantage here.
I bet you have.
Yes.
That's absolutely true.
It's how we do it. Okay, there it is. He's got a pen and paper. Are you ready? Okay.
No, but yeah.
You're actually writing it down in Roland Martin's 101 Bass Fishing Secrets book, I noticed, too. It's a classic. It's a classic right there. The first person's name that you need to write down is Denny Brower. Denny Brower. Okay.
All right.
The next person that you need to write down is Larry Nixon. The next person you need to write down is Brian Thrift. The next person is Jeffrey Crete. Jeff Crete.
Oh, God. Can I just write rental friend down for
him? Yes, you can. the next person is Forrest Wood. And the final person is Mike McClelland. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for the big game? Miss Jackson, give me a beat. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yep.
It's time for Match 'em Up with Scott Suggs right here on Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television. I'm your host, Pat Renwick. And today, Scott Suggs steps to the stage. Scott, I am going to give you a description, and you need to match him up with this famous angler. Are you ready to play Match 'em Up, Scotty?
Go.
Let's do it. This angler is often rejected from lines at amusement parks for not meeting the height to ride requirement. He is also the 2017 FLW Angler of the Year.
Do I need to just say it or
say the name? Yes, say the name.
Thrift.
That's Brian Thrift. You are correct. You got it right. That's the first one. Yes. All right. First one right. Match him up. This former BASS champion is rumored to still have a warehouse full of gator tail worms and recently had his heart replaced with the heart of a panther, which will enable him to fish competitively for decades to come. This former Megabucks champion is rumored to have a warehouse full of gator tail worms and had his heart replaced with the heart of a panther so he can compete competitively for years to come.
You ready?
Larry Nixon, that is correct. You're batting 1,000. You're good at this, Scott. Did you practice this game? This is not fair. This is not fair. This angler is often referred to as the intimidator of bass fishing and is said to be able to turn competitors to stone with a single glance. He's also one of the few elite echelon of anglers to be featured on a Wheaties box.
Denny Brower.
That is Denny Brower.
Ding, ding.
He's knocking them out. Unbelievable. This professional angler's saliva is so venomous that it almost wiped out every indigenous plant in the country of Spain.
Jeff Crete.
That's Jeff Crete. That's right. Jeff Crete.
Where the hell did you get that
100%. One? 100%. Jeff Crete spits in all the vases.
He's spitting.
In Spain. Knocked him out.
I wish.
You got, I mean, there's two left. So, I mean, you knocked them out. So, I think you're doing pretty good here. This bass fishing legend. Hold on, let me start that again. I totally screwed that one up. This bass fishing legend's cowboy hat is alleged to be a life-sustaining force similar to Darth Vader's helmet.
Forrest.
That's Forrest Wood. Scott Suggs, you are the winner here on Match 'em Up on Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon Television. He's the first guy to ever get them all right.
He won 10 grand.
You just won 10 grand.
Congrats. Sweet. I'll take games now.
Yeah, now you can compete again. Tell your family they don't have to worry. You're covered here. You're covered. It's right there. Oh, man. Dude, you did really good at that. For not even having a pen ready? Come on. Come on, you knocked it out, dude. All right, we got to talk a little fishing technique, or I'm just going to get more hate mail than I already do. So,
yeah, since you're doing that, we've talked about some great stuff in between all this. But yeah. One of the first things he mentioned is that he was really good at catching suspended fish.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going.
How the hell do you catch suspended fish?
Exactly. You're known for that, and you're known for clear water angling. Suspended fish and clear water angling, two of the biggest trouble spots for fishermen. Why are you so good at that?
like I said, I was just brought up fishing with my dad over here on this lake, and this lake is really full of trees. And then I fish Table Rock a lot. I fish Beaver a lot and everything. And these deep, clear water mountain lakes that have standing timber in them, you can go. What's so awesome about it is I can pull up to some of these places, and I can be away from here for a while, and I can come back and go out, and I can fish structure type stuff, fish the bottom, fish the grass and everything. And if the bite's really tough, I can tell within 2 hours that, you know, or talk to, I can even be gone and talk to a couple of my buddies, and I can call home and they'll say, hey, how's everything going? Are they biting? They'll say, man, it stinks. It's really tough here. Get home. And I come home and I go fishing suspended fish, and we usually figure it out. And think about kind of lakes right here, you can fish for suspended fish about 9 to 10 months out of the year. And what I do is it just depends on what time of the year it is, knowing their migration, knowing whether I need to be looking on channel swing type stuff, whether I need to be looking on points, bluff ends, whatever I need to be looking on for the time of the year, and then understanding or figuring out what depth they are. And then the biggest key is once you get that depth figured out is maintaining a bait in that strike zone. And when I call that strike zone, the depth that they're holding in, I always like to keep my bait anywhere from about a foot above where I think they're holding to about 5 to 6 feet above it, because they're always looking up when they're suspended. You go under them, you can throw a bait out there and let it go down 5 feet below them, and you may not get a bite all day long unless they see it go down on the fall. If you throw past them and they never see it, you're not even going to get a bite.
Right.
And I think that, and then understanding the thermocline, that's another big thing, is knowing that if I'm fishing in 80 feet of water and the thermocline's at 30, I've ruled out all that water below them. I don't have to mess with all that. I keep it in that water or in that 30 and above, and just understanding all those different things. And then I catch tons of fish out of the trees and stuff on top waters and everything, and knowing when that's going on. I've just spent so much time doing it that it's really more, I mean, it's really fun to me, because once you find them, once you figure it out, it's a huge reward. I mean, you catch so many fish that I call them bait stupid, because they don't ever see a bait. They never see a bait. And so, and when I won the cup here, I won the cup fish in the trees.
Wow. And that whole thing you brought up about the thermocline is just, I'm not going to kid you, I have no concept of it. It baffles me. I spend most of my time in 6 foot of water or less. Again, I'm not going to kid you.
That's like Justin Atkins come and stayed with me here a couple of weeks ago. We were doing a Berkeley shoot over here, and he comes in and quizzes me a little bit about it. And by the time we get here and get settled down, it's like 9:30, and he goes to quiz me about it. And, I mean, I look, and his eyes are this big around, and his phone rang. He goes, I don't care what's going on outside this world right now. He said, I'm totally focused. Keep talking. And I think we stayed up till midnight. And
nice.
Be up at 5.
He was soaking it up.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people. I mean, it's amazing how many people do this for a profession, or coming up wanting to do it, that have no clue about the thermocline, what it does, when it does it, and you know, a lot of people, it's so amazing to me. Justin will tell you he was one of them that didn't understand when a lake turned over what caused it to turn over, and that's basically the thermocline flipping when you start cooling off in the fall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a neat deal. It's a neat thing. And it's one thing I dove years ago some, and it's just something that I totally understand. And it really helps ruling out, you know, when you're looking for fish, it rules out about 2/3 of the lake. It makes it a lot easier to find them. And, you know, it really makes the lake fish a lot smaller.
Do you find that thermocline with your electronics?
Yeah, Lowrance is really good. I use it at finding them. But what a lot of people that don't really know what they're looking for, you can be out there late in the afternoon, right at dark or just a little bit after dark, and that thermocline will show up. I mean, it's a no-doubter. after it gets low, because that water where that thermocline starts is like at 52 degrees, 54, and the particles really hold up right there as they're falling through it, coming from above. So it makes that real dense. You can't see your hand in front of your face in that 10-foot section where that all goes down. So at night with low light and everything there, it really shows up on electronics a lot better than it does at any other time of the day.
What does it look like on the electronics?
It'll just be a solid line. I promise you won't have to ask what it looks like.
Really?
I mean, it'll just be a, but it'll be a you know, it'll be from the top of it to where it starts clearing out and where you can start seeing better under it. It'll be about a 10-foot section there that you really, it's no doubt what you're seeing.
Wow. And, yeah, exactly.
And I think knowing a lot of times, like this lake, I've lived on it for so long, the thermocline here falls in usually about this time of year right here in middle of June, and it falls in around 13 foot every year. And our thermocline never gets deeper than 37 here. You go up to Table Rock and some of those deeper, more canyon-type lakes up there that aren't as big, wide open, and it'll get down to 65 along in there by the time the lake turns over. So wow. It just depends where you're at and knowing what's going on and understanding.
So what's the number one tool as far as bait choice for fishing for these suspended fish for you?
It just depends on what time of the year I'm doing it. And it depends on what your bait's like. If your shad are very big, or if they're a little tiny shad, if they're a good sized shad, like when I won the championship here, I caught them slow rolling a 3/4 ounce spinner bait out in the top of those trees.
Gotcha.
And I like to throw a swim bait in the top of the trees. There's certain times that, believe it or not, I throw a Texas rig, old monster worm in the top of them and just swim it a lot. It's basically, like I said, it's basically those fish are idiot. You know, they're just, they're idiots, really.
Like Watson, yeah.
They never see a bait out there, and nobody, they're just not bait smart. So it makes it pretty easy to catch. The only big thing about it is being able to know enough places, find enough places, and have enough places, because a lot of times when you catch one or two of them, you'll pull that whole school to the boat and you'll have to go somewhere else. But the good thing about it, when they're out in those trees, they'll reposition. You can make two or three trips on them in a day.
So you're fishing, let's say you're fishing a strange lake and you're not on your home lake. How do you start preparing to catch these suspended fish? What's the method to your madness at this? Well, how do you find them?
That's just another thing. I mean, it's like last year when we went to Lake Travis. That lake was real low the last time I was there. And then this last time we went, it was super high. Well, all these trees grew. So when we got there, they were out in 25 and 30 feet of water. And that's basically the same thing I did there. I just went to looking and watching these trees and seeing these fish in these trees, and then adapting to the way I needed to catch them there, and I had a good tournament there and made the cut there. So, I mean, I've done it so much that once you go to a place that you know the water's clear, or it doesn't really matter where at in the country, as long as it's a deep reservoir and it's got some kind of trees, there's going to be a fish suspended on it somewhere. And I mean, it's just, I've got several techniques I can try and figure out. And once I figure out the depth and which technique's going to work the best, you can basically run all over the lake and catch them.
It's time-consuming, though, correct, in order to put it into the process?
Very. That's a great point. It's very time-consuming. And a lot of times my goal is if I find one to four places, you know, if you find three or four in a day, you've had a super good day. So by the time that practice is over, if you've got five or up to 12 places found by the time your 3 days of practice is over, that's unbelievable. Because the thing about it is, most of the time, all it takes, I mean, it's usually your first stop, maybe your second stop, and you're well.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about it. I mean, it's wasting a lot of time. You're right. not wasting a lot of time, but it consumes a lot of time trying to find them. But once you do, and you get you 3 or 4 or 5 places found, you're fishing for fish that you don't have to worry if your boat 100 or if your boat number 2. You're not going to have to fish behind anybody.
Right, and I think Ryan's thinking the same thing I am. If you could implement this into your MLF competition, you'd kick everybody's ass. You just don't have enough time to do it.
I've got to do it. I got to do it one time, and I won that. I won that deal on like 10 kills.
Yeah,
I got to do it, and it was pretty fun.
Heck yeah, man!
It sounds awesome.
I felt like we just did a Bass University thing right now. Yeah. That was so informative. That was way more informative than anything we ever do on this show. I don't know what the hell's going on. Good job, Scott. Dude, I would love to learn how to fish for suspended fish, but I, even after listening to you and how you broke it down and simplified it as you did, I still feel intimidated by it. Is that natural?
And most people do, and I mean, it's just something that, here it is, it's like anything. It's all between your ears. It's all about confidence. And all it takes is that 1 or 2 times going out, figuring it out, and being able to duplicate it. And then it's like a bad beast. You want to keep fighting it because you love it so much. I mean, it really becomes something that, I don't know, it's so addictive to me, I guess is the best way to put it, because I get more now out of when I'm around and stuff instead of just pulling up and catching. I get more reward out of finding. I mean, and my dad's he said something to me before when he'd be with me. I'd pull up, I'd catch some, and I'd say, well, we got those found. Let's go find something else. Well, why don't we catch them? You know,
let's jack a few here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once you get to get it dialed in, it's very addictive.
More about the hunt.
There it is, right there. Suspended Bass Fishing with Scott Suggs on Stray Cast Outdoor Cartoon
That's
Television.
That's good stuff. I'm going to go look for a thermocline later this summer.
I never listen to this show back because I don't want to hear myself again, but I'm going to listen to this back again. That's for sure. That's for sure. Hey, we really appreciate you taking your time out of your free time to come on this show, man. We sincerely appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate the offer. Anytime, I would love to do anytime. That's one thing that I always did, and I always kind of preach it to these younger guys coming up and everything. As far as I know, in all my time, I've never missed anything. I've always tried to do everything I possibly can when people ask. And for the upcomers out there that are listening or whatever, never, ever forget to return a call or never turn anything down, because it's the people that are watching us that makes us be, you know, they're the reason we're out here.
100%. Yep. 100%. And again, man, we wish you the best of luck. You're going to St. Clair next, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to Bronzeback Country.
Yes, sir. Are you excited?
Oh, yeah, because I like to fish. I like to catch them suspended up there, too.
Nice. Well, we wish you luck there in the Rock City, in the Detroit Rock City. Maybe we'll see you up there. If not, we'll run into you in Arkansas this summer at the Cup.
I hope so.
There it is, man. Scott Suggs, a true gentleman and professional bass angler. Right here for the first time. You got to come back. You got to come back. So how about, are you free tomorrow night? Is that cool?
Hey, I'll make it.
Scott, take care, man. Anything you want to say to your fans or sponsors before we get the hell out of here?
Hey, no, just, hey, thanks for that ever back me in it right now. I couldn't be out here without them, and all the fans, hey, We're going to stay after
it. There it is. And we'll see you on June 20th whooping James Watson's ass on his home lake right there. Can't wait for it. Scott Suggs, take care of yourself, man. Good to see you. There it is right there. Hey, Scott Suggs, first time ever on this show. I enjoyed Scott. That was awesome, dude. Yeah. He's a cool dude to hang with, too, that's for sure. Want to remind you, there's still time. There is still time to win the $50 Brevarney Jig prize pack. All you have to do is like and share the live Facebook feed, and Nicole Dore, Bass Fishing Supermodel, will be coming on shortly. I think we're getting her on right now. I'm playing dumb. Come on. I'm trying to be like, pretend like this is a surprise. Oh, okay. I see what we're doing here. Okay. and what the world is going on here. You think that these guys would know how to use.
Hey, Andy.
They would know how.
Hello?
I hear voices.
Hello?
I hear voices from beyond. What is.
We on?
Hello, Dum Dum.
Hello?
Whoever this could be, hit the video button on your Skype. All we have is audio. Who is this mystery guest right now? Let's guess. Who
is this Orlando Wilson?
I don't think it's Orlando Wilson.
It is.
Oh, my God, it's a ghost of Christmas past.
Blair Witch.
It is the Blair Witches.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Are you guys in a Nine Inch Nails video?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Brian the Carpenter and Justin Kimmel right here. With a special cameo. Wow.
Holy, are you guys bow hunting for carp right now?
What are you doing?
Might as well be bow hunting with a whopper flopper.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow.
There's nothing biting in Jersey tonight, folks. You're not missing anything.
Where are Brian's hands right now? Jersey. Where are Brian's hands? Oh, there they are.
They're okay. On his plopper.
Good.
What's been dead stick in a Senko at night.
Is that what you call it? I gotcha. I gotcha. Excellent. Justin, it's pretty ironic that I actually have a Bass U shirt on tonight.
That's why I wanted to call in, man. I thought you got our latest shirt on and just wanted to see if you were enjoying some Bass U TV. I heard the Scott Suggs suspended bass stuff.
Yeah.
You can see that on Bass U TV.
Actually, I'm thinking of starting a new show called Stray Cast U. Where it's nothing but informative bass fishing information.
Right.
I don't think it's being done yet, and yeah. I see a niche in the market for informative bass fishing.
Yeah, really in-depth stuff.
Yes. You know? Yeah. You know what I mean. Right from the pros' mouths.
I think it's brilliant.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. I'm an idea man. I feed the mayonnaise to the tuna fish, as you know.
Brian, are you grinding fresh pepper back there? Or? I don't see a rod. Is that a pepper grinder? Oh, okay.
Oh, he's whopping his plop. There. Where are you guys at? Are you on Mike's Lake?
No. We had to go public lake tonight, and that means only pickerel. 1 3-pound pickerel.
Where's the birthday boy? Earwig.
Eric?
Yeah, where's Earwig?
I have no idea. Missing in action.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
He's throwing a Senko somewhere, be sure.
I'm sure he's Thanosing all the Infinity Stones somewhere, is what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just getting ready. I'm going to actually be having all the fun tomorrow morning. I don't know if you guys saw. We'll be live from our Facebook page, Bass University.
Yes.
With the dean, Pete Glusek, and he's searching for big ones.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to go fishing. He's going to try to put together a pattern live. So the pressure I've put on him is immense.
Can Pete handle that? Is he okay with this?
I think so. He hasn't been to this particular area in about 8 days.
Okay.
I hope you guys aren't pre-fishing for him.
So what he was doing is not going to be working anymore. So
gotcha.
Finding the developing patterns, it's the Bass U way, man.
Pete is an amazing angler, as we know from his history on BASS, on FLW.
Big wins.
Yeah, absolutely. He's also my brother from another mother, and also, yeah. but what we do know about Pete also is he just likes to take it easy these days. He doesn't like pressure that much.
Yeah, it's a good way to live life and fish.
I got a good story for Monday night's show. I think Andy would really appreciate this.
Okay, go ahead.
So. Intern calls out about an hour before the show. puts a little extra heat on me, extra stuff to do to get ready for Monday Night Psych Live. And about quarter of seven, we're supposed to go live at seven, I walk in and I see the computer, try not to break in my eye. like maybe in the chin or something.
I'm not your intern.
the computer's saying something about Windows wants to do an update. I'm like, yeah, right. I come back in 5 minutes later. Windows is doing an update at 5 minutes of the time we're supposed to go live at 7 o'clock. So 25 minutes of wait for Windows to finish this update. We're way late. Finally get everybody ready. About to go live. About to hit action. We lead off with sponsor plugs. Where's Pete? Freaking Pete's in the bathroom taking a shit. He was out there for 40 minutes talking about Jake's wrestling. He couldn't do it then. No, he waits till it's time to go live. Oh, my God.
It was a call to duty, if you know what I'm saying. It was a call to duty right there.
I mean, literally, everybody finally gets in their places. Where's Pete? Oh, okay.
Hey, why don't we have an intern? We used to. We're having a pork chop.
Yeah, pork chop got fired. Okay. We smartened up right away.
I think Andy wants an intern.
Yeah, Andy does need an intern. Someone he can intimidate and scare with his. Did you know that Andy did originate the text acronym SMH?
That's it. I did not.
That's it. That's his.
You call the bait. We didn't catch fish on tonight.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, you pay me $100, I'll give you an inside tour to Brian the Carpenter's tackle box.
I've seen it.
All the baits Pete and Mike gave him that don't catch a fish.
Here's what we didn't catch. We got turned through. So we didn't catch anything on a plopper.
Okay.
We threw this. Drew Benton just won on Travis with this bait.
Yeah.
We had Bass U. Zero on that. zero on the heavy hitter.
Sorry, Fred.
Nothing on Freddy's Frog. That's another big goose egg. is that the one you threw?
Yeah, I threw a chatterbait similar to that.
Yeah, we threw a jackhammer, nothing. Another little chatter chicken looking bait, nothing on that. We threw a swim jig, and we dead stick a sanko.
Oh, that too. You threw that?
No, I didn't throw that.
You didn't?
No.
That was the one.
That's the pH lure I sent you.
Yeah, that's probably what we should have thrown.
That's why he didn't catch them.
Yeah, by the way, where the hell are my Ike Live stickers? Justin gave me Bass U stickers for my boat. Where are the My Ike Live stickers? Am I just like every other viewer of Ike Live? I never get the prizes. Is
a fact.
I need some to hold my transom together too, please.
Pat,
what's that?
You have one of our new hats.
I do. Yeah, I have everything New Year's. I'm kind of a big deal.
Have you found? There's a rumor going around. Have you found that you've caught some really, really big bass this year while wearing this hat?
Unbelievable. And especially the size has increased immensely. And it's what I've found that by watching Bass U TV and then applying those techniques on the water while wearing that hat, tenfold, dude.
Tenfold. That's awesome. Yeah. There's a rumor that this is a lucky hat.
That is true.
And it just so happens if you sign up for Bass U TV right now, selfish plug, if you sign up right now through Father's Day, we will send you one of these hats for free. You can't buy this hat anywhere. So it's rumored to be lucky. My size has gone up tremendously this year as well. And the pictures that I got from you, which I still need to post them up there.
Wow.
Gigantors with you in that hat.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brian, he just said his size has gone up tremendously this year. Is that due to some pharmaceutical product, or is that
I heard that, Pat. Yeah. I chose not to comment on it.
Yeah, is that some pharmaceutical product that you are endorsing?
Surprised. He's been on his game all night.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to watching a little Bass University live on the water tomorrow with Pete Klusik. What time's that start?
Yeah, bring your coffee, 7 a.m. We're putting the pressure on him.
Pete's going to be up at 7?
He better, because I advertised that.
That's Justin Kimmel and Brian the Carpenter live from an undisclosed location using a lot of baits that don't work tonight. But still having a hell of a time.
Process of elimination.
We're going to go dead stink a Cinco the rest of the night.
All right, yes. And remember to try the Margarita Mutilator color. That is that is a color I invented.
See you guys.
Thank you.
A cone in the house.
That was a pretty cool little surprise right there. That was good. I really wasn't surprised, but that's what happens here on Bass Fishing Talk Shows. Hey, the time is among us right now. The moment you've been waiting for. It is time for the Brevarney Jigs giveaway and the return of Nicole Dore, bass fishing supermodel. She is back from her world tour and back home here in Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Nicole Dore. Yes. Woo. Yeah. Da-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Nicky Nick. Da-na-na-na-na. What's going on?
Nothing much.
What are you doing?
Just got home. Just hanging out. Nothing much.
What the heck is on your shirt? Is that a Pantera shirt?
Tiger.
Oh, it's a tiger.
It's a liger.
Yeah.
Is it mixed bred for its skills in magic? Pantera. By any chance?
Anything you want it to be.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. 100%. It's good to have you back home in Chirac.
I know. It's good back to be in my hometown.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, but seriously, you were like in paradise, California, Nevada, Jamaica, Bahamas, and now you're back in Chicago. Excuse me. Right there.
I know, but it's good to be home. Chicago is my hometown. It always will be. So I'm glad to be back. You know, my vacation's over. Time to get on with my life again.
Okay. So, real life shit happening right now.
Honest stuff.
And the most important thing in your life, as everyone knows, is to give away prizes here on the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show that we call Stray Cast. And what do you got worked up? What's up?
Absolutely. And the giveaway tonight is actually $50 worth of Bacardi. And I actually mean Bovarney.
Oh, wait, there's a Bacardi's lot of people that want $50 worth of Bacardi. I think you got a winner there. Woo! That's a deal.
Brevarney swim jigs, and they have hand-tied skirts, custom razor sharp hooks, and they also come in every spectrum of color.
Wow.
Pat would really like to say they are the sexiest swim jigs that come in the Bassin Galaxy.
Yes, that is true. You wow, you took the words right out of my mouth.
You have a way with words.
So. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Basically, you can just check them out at brevarneybaits.com or on their Facebook page. And if you happen to win tonight, just send us a message here at StrayCast Facebook page, and we'll be happy to help you out with it.
Awesome. We'll send them the prize out right away. Cool. And who is the big winner?
Okay, the big winner just happens to be Jesse McNutt.
Jesse McNutt?
Jesse McNutt.
Is that McNutt. Real? Is that really?
N-A-U-G-H-T.
Jesse McNutt. McNutt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, there it is. That's like McLovin. Jesse McNutt, you're the big winner on Stray Cast. That's awesome. It's an awesome name. It's like McLovin.
So congratulations to you, Jesse. Send us a message here, and we're happy to help you out.
Awesome. Nikki, thank you so much for taking your time to come on the show now that you're back in the real world.
Anytime for you, Pat.
Awesome.
Ryan, of course, and Ryan, sorry.
And Ryan.
Yeah, hey.
And Ryan, too.
What's up?
And what about JP?
Anytime for JP.
And then what about the Ginger Ninja? And the Ginger Ninja?
All the above.
Yes,
all
there it is. Above. Nikki, peace. I'm blowing you kisses from Bass Fish in Heaven right here. I'll see you. Take care of yourself. Thanks again. Nicole Dore, bass fishing supermodel, with her triumphant return right here on Stray Cast. Boom, it's another show, another wrap full of surprises, prizes, and something else.
Suspended fish.
Hey, we are off next week, but we return on the 27th, and I just want to take the time to first off thank all of you that viewed tonight. Again, without your support, this show does not exist. And I'd also like to thank the sponsors that make this show happen. Of course, TH Marine Power Pole. There is Alpha Angler Rods, PH Custom Lures, Brevarney Baits,
Damn Jigs,
JB Fish Sauce, And Rajus.
Rajus.
Rage, are they still a sponsor, Rajus? Okay, I don't even know. But, hey, just straight cast.
Yeah, you're a sponsor.
Something like that. But, hey, I'm Pat Renwick. You're a sponsor. You're a sponsor. Everybody's a sponsor. Thanks to... Thanks to Fred Rabanis.
Gatorade, too. Thank
yes,
you, Gatorade.
Yes. And Switchblades. We are also sponsored by Vintage Switchblades.
And Naked Lady Pens Incorporated.
Naked Lady Pens and Copenhagen. Yes. Mm. And Apple.
Grizzly.
And Apple. And, hey, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I'm Pat Renwick. This is Ryan Whitaker, JP High, and Andrew Ellenberger, the Ginger Ninja. We bid you peace.
Kufa.
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 Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance.
No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Stray Cast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening.
Peace!